Kala Falava. You're listening to a Tata Yahoro Core Education Podcast.
Tala Falava, Malo Lele Nisa Pula, Kia ora na, kia ora koutou katoa, ko tōku I ngō Matalena Whata Ape Toi Loma, and I have the pleasure to welcome a very adventurous, vivacious, beautiful wahine.
You're too kind.
A Pacifica navigator and also a hearty Eastsider, Miss Maria Lemelier. And before I let you take over, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who's listened to us throughout the year, and especially our new Pacifica podcast listeners. We really appreciate it. So, you know, the Celine Dion song, I think it's saving the best for last. So
we're saving the best for last. Stop it. You're too kind, miss.
You have heard her cousin Sully take over our podcasting session, and Maria's going to finish off the year with us. So thank you for coming. Just a little bit of background for the listeners. So you are newly appointed principal of Te Arutai College.
Yes, I am. It's
based in Ōtautahi, so I just want to mihi out to you and say thank you for coming back to the East. Previously, deputy principal at Christchurch Girls High. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your journey there. You've also taught and led in spaces at Shirley Boys, and you sit on various Pacific and non-Pacific boards around the motu, not just in Canterbury and Waitaha, so looking forward to hearing about that. You are also, I will add, an elder.
Yes.
At St. Paul's Trinity Pacific.
I am a young elder.
Yeah.
A bit of an oxymoron, but yes, I am. Have the privilege of being an elder at our church there. And
yeah, a lot of history there for your family too. So
100%.
Again, I'd love to hear about your stories and navigating that space with your 50,000 hats that you wear, okay? So countless years of experience we're seeing coming through as a teacher, as an educator and a navigator for our Pacific people. You also lead one of the biggest events in Te Waipounamu, the SPACPAC Polyfest, right through to leadership awards and stuff. So again, for those listeners who aren't aware of what we do in the South Island, Maria's going to talk a little bit about that and how it could look in your school as a leader. You are also one of the key advocates for League here in Canterbury as well. So just even a little bit about that and your journey from day dot, why you got into education, what you're facing, your challenges, and then the positive stuff that you're seeing and your aspirations. We'll put that up through the kōrero, I know. But I'm going to hand it over to you now, mate.
Thank you. I will let you introduce yourself.
And thinking out of this list, I haven't even mentioned half of the other stuff you do. So my question to you is, how do you sleep, mate?
How do I sleep? I sleep very well. I sleep very, very well, Lena. But again, thank you for this opportunity. Te alofa lava, ma lolo soi fua maua, ma lalangi mama. Tēnā koutou, mihi atu ki a koutou. Katoa, ko tai mai ki te whakarongo ki tēnei kōrero o tēnei wahine. So, greetings to each and every one of you. Again, a huge thank you to the lovely Lena Toi Loma for inviting me along today. As mentioned, my name is Maria Lemelier. Yes, hearty chicha, born and bred. And my most recent appointment is the new principal of Te Arutai College. So one of the prompts the lovely Lena has given me today is, what was my education growing up like? So my parents migrated here in the late 60s. Mum and dad came at different times, so they became elivers when they were in Christchurch, so they didn't come from Samoa knowing each other. Blessed to have been born in the 70s, but alongside I have three younger siblings, David, Sam and Michael, being the eldest, and we all went to school locally. And my education growing up is, my mum is from a family of teachers, so her brothers were teachers, her siblings were either working in spaces like midwifery and contracting, building, so there was that lens of helping and working with people. So my mum, when I grew up, she would always read to me from a little, I don't know whether you remember those golden mm-hmm. books.
Yeah.
So mum read to me in that space of being able to reinforce her English language as well. And mum is very similar to me as an actual extrovert. So she loved meeting new people and having conversations. And so my love of English literature, reading and writing came first and foremost through my mum, who was very hearty in ensuring that, you know, I was that child at school that won the spelling tests and would read all my books and have them signed off to say, yes, Maria has read her 3 books for the week in 3 days. So I wouldn't say I was a nerd's R us, but I really appreciated that opportunity from my mum to install in my love of reading and love of writing. So education there, went to Bromley Kindergarten, went to Bromley School, Linwood Intermediate, Linwood High School, and then on to tertiary. So I think for me, and I really, really enjoyed school, but I had some key teachers who were very engaging and helped foster that love of learning, and hence why it's led me down this path. My mum and dad were very clear on, maybe it was a sexist thing, I think, they said that I was to concentrate on school and the boys to concentrate on sport. So, and I kind of reckon if I could have done both, I could have done sport. I reckon I'm a better sports person than my brothers if they're listening in. But I think they were the whole, you know, you're the eldest girl, you're going to go through to university and XYZ, and you're going to get a good job and you're going to work in a bank as a bank teller type of thing. So that, for my parents, that was the epitome of a good job in NZ at that time. Parents still sending money at that time to Samoa. So there was me being able to visualise, you know, what hard work looked like, as mum and dad had different jobs, whether it was filleting fish, putting like little screws on light bulbs. So I was very aware of what mum and dad had to do to get us to where we are now, which is food on the table, clean clothes, a good education. I wouldn't say my parents were strict around school, but they had an expectation that we went to school and you learned something and you got a good report. And that's just it. But great to have had really, really key teachers that I've, you know, felt comfortable with. But they were, the key thing about those teachers, because they loved their job and they were good at their job, which kind of now as a principal, I'm looking at my new staff and the staff that I work with, is that do they love their job and are they good? If you love your job, you're passionate about what you're teaching, and it comes out, and the kids and whānau can actually tell that you actually give a hoot about what you're doing. If you're there to clip the ticket, I'll be able to sniff that out in a heartbeat. And it's like, ka kite. No, just kidding. It's not going to be ka kite, but it'll be very clear on my expectations as a tumuaki. What was other that you're wanting to...
I think those points that you were talking about the high expectations from your parents, eh? It leads into the path to and in education. Because I think, in a way, especially during that time, if you don't have those high expectations, you're not going to instill good things like good characteristics, good values, good work ethic. And so that kind of obviously has led you to where you are now. But the thing is like, you can call out people who aren't living your expectations,
oh,
I think.
Absolutely.
You know, like, and I think that's an advantage, especially from a Pacific perspective, because you have been in an environment different to some other principals around the Motu'e.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so you have kind of like a superpower in comparison to some others. Other principals will be the same too that are Pacific, but like, they don't have the same.
I guess it's, I wouldn't say struggles, but I would say opportunities. The first school that I worked at, all boys school, predominantly male staff. You know, for myself as female and of Pacifica descent, you know, I was very, I wouldn't say different, but in regards to the norm of the type of teacher that would teach in all boys school. I had great learnings from that kudder there, and the headmaster of the time was magnificent. And it's all about people who open doors for you. So the likes of Mr. John Lawrenson and Mrs. Christine O'Neill, these were significant Balangi people who saw in me what I could give and to the community as well, to our young people. And so it's always important to have someone that's willing to open doors for you and advocate for you. They weren't favoritizing me, if that's a word, but they made sure that I had opportunities to grow and expand on the untapped kitty of knowledge that other staff don't have. For us as Pasifika and as women as well, those skills of manaakitanga and whakawhanaungatanga, aroha and rangatiratanga are just organic and unique. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to teachers' college to get those kind of skills of respect and just genuine fellowship with and service. And I think being Pasifika, you know, as I've mentioned about my new school and my new team wanting to do things for me, but I'm like this, you know what, if I was at church, no one older than me is doing anything for me. So whether it's changing the dishwasher, making a cup of tea, those key fundamental values of our Pasifika upbringing has enabled and allowed me to do what I do well.
Mm. So the importance of allyship, yeah, or partnership.
Absolutely.
In the spaces that you're navigating in comes across pretty strong.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in advocacy and opening doors. Now that I'm in this position as a principal of a fairly big school, you know, and how do I grow leadership? How do I role model to our communities? And how do I ensure that everybody deserves and should have a good education? And my final thing really is, for if teaching is not your jam, leave.
Yeah.
Because you have no business in the ring. If your heart is not for our kids and their future and to ensure that New Zealand or Aotearoa is a prosperous nation, if you're just clipping the ticket, I know that it will quickly show. And maybe, you know, teaching is, not saying that it's not the pathway for you, but maybe a different lens, but our kids and their future deserve people that are genuine, organic, and actually want to be there.
And when you're standing in front of a classroom, it just reminds me of when I was teaching. If you can see it in other people, if you are not well in your head, you're not well to teach kids. It just comes down to that, eh? Like, your well-being and stuff is really important. But, so then, the influence of people and your leadership, you've talked a little bit about it, but who or what has influenced you the most when you step into new leadership roles and responsibilities?
New leadership roles, I think. What has influenced me would be, I guess, understanding and recognising the migrant dream. Mm-hmm. So for myself, and I think maybe the new generators, not so much now, but seeing that our parents came in a time where there were very few Pasifika peoples, they had to navigate language and culture and employment and poverty in a time where I believe now our generation have reaped the benefits of our parents. Mm-hmm. And so that's really stood out, and I've had and I don't know whether it's because I'm the eldest and I just have an alignment with that work ethic and that lens of how do I honour the hard yards that my parents have done, like working night shift, filleting fish and putting on the soles of shoes, all that hard work and turmoil of being ripped away from family, having to fit in, being called a coconut back in the day where they wouldn't say anything, they just went with it. Whereas now this current climate, if someone was to call me that, I'd be like, let's take this outside. No, just kidding. But it's different, you know, and we kind of think that things are hard now, but I reflect on our parents that was hard then. And so I've just got this sense of being wholly blessed, and people have said to me, man, you're so lucky, you've gone from this to this. But my parents, people from church, key leaders in the community have always acknowledged me by saying, you know, please continue to bless others as others have blessed you. So, as I know it sounds a bit corny, but all these wonderful things that are happening because I know what, when I receive this magnificent opportunity to be a principal of a large school, then it doesn't come with, you know, bells and whistles. I know that I need to, in that space there, be able to bless others with that appointment. So that whole role of leadership and service, so whether it's making cups of teas for our admin staff or helping the cleaners take out the rubbish, staying late, doing some, I'm looking forward to doing a couple home visits.
Real nice.
But it's, yeah, it's the whole lens of service and being the, not the ultimate product of the migrant dream, but being one of the many products of the migrant dream.
So that leads us into the next part about Pacific principles and pedagogy that's influenced your leadership journey. So you've spoken about that one, a little about service. And so you could share about, like, you know, the pedagogy and the influence that it has on your leadership journey. You know, we're just continuing on the talent more from before.
Absolutely. In our Pacifica upbringing in regards to those respect, service, innate qualities that we can't name, like, out loud as such, but it just comes with the, I guess, the being Pacifica. You know, when you are, visitors come through to your house, you're like this, ping, cup of tea.
Yeah.
And so when I have dignitaries come through the school, you know, you get up, you make a cup of tea, you have that hospitable invitation to come in and join you and have a kōrero talanoa over a cup of tea. You do the work with others. Mm. You're not expecting other people to do the work for you, but you get in and you dig in alongside your team. And there's also the respect for your elders. I met a number of my new staff and they are, you know, older than me, and they would be like my dad's age or some of the elders at church. And so our Pacifica pedagogy of how we work with people, it surprises them. Because now, you know, he's the new boss of the school coming along and asking them, do you want me to make you a beetroot chutney, camembert cheese bun and a cup of tea? I know I like bougie things like that. But they are just so overwhelmed with this different lens of alofa. But, you know, then in turn, just those seeing people, like whether we look in the classroom, acknowledging, knowing how to pronounce everybody's name properly, just those simple things, asking them about their background. But our children want to be seen, and you can move mountains in regards to the way that our young people learn, the way they behave, if you can extend that hand of fellowship. But it needs to be authentic and organic, and just being, this teacher actually wants to know me, and this teacher actually knows her.
And stuff. Kids can call it out.
Absolutely.
Especially the ones at Te Arata. Those kids can see through.
Oh, 100%.
And that's why you love them, because they can. Yeah. Kids like that in their other schools, you know?
Oh, yeah. They just want authenticity.
Yeah. Yes, they do. So what's some advice that you can give the next wave of Pacific leaders coming through? What's some advice?
My advice for the next wave of Pacific leaders is to make sure that you have a succession plan, and in what ways are you growing other leaders with your skills. Ooh. So I am part of the Pacifica Education Teachers Association, or Pacifica Educators Association, which is around working with other Pacifica educators, and how do you use your, I wouldn't say your privilege, but your opportunity to inspire, to train, and to share advice, but more so part of the Tamai Tai Toa program that works with women, Pacifica women in education, and how do we equip them with the skills and the courage to apply for those leadership roles. What I'm finding with a lot of our Pacifica women especially is that we're in lots of aid, teacher aiding type jobs, which is fantastic and valuable, but they, I would love for them, because of the skills that they have, I'm like this, I'd love for them to move into teaching and have more of a role within the school and how do we move our middle leaders into senior leaders. Mm. So it's around the best thing that I can do in any other Pasifika woman is how do you share that experience, that knowledge in a mana enhancing way, not one to sound like an eat, but one to grow our the capacity of our women, mm. our mothers, our nanas, but also to show for the next generation just the importance of being fully equipped and given everything or something a go.
Yeah, awesome. So we are wrapping up. I just want to say thank you for your sharing and thank you for sharing your expertise and your gift of knowledge with not just me, but for the audience that will listen. Hopefully they will take on some valuable advice. So explain in 5 words or less how you feel about taking on your new leadership role at Te Aratai and being part of making history, because I don't think I thought about it, but you are the first Pacific female principal or Pacific principal at Te Aratai. Mm. That's right, eh?
Yes.
Wow! You're in the books, girl.
I know. So no pressure.
That's awesome. No pressure. No pressure.
I think taking on the new role, so in 5 words, privileged, I'd say honoured, excited, and definitely ready to do the heavy lifting. But this is for our kids. Yeah. This is for our kids and any other kid from, for our families, an impoverished background can do wonderful things. But this is my opportunity to grow leadership in schools, grow commitment, and grow a desire for our community.
What are two, I'm just going to chuck it in there, two Pacific values that you can offer or share with non-Pacifica leaders?
Non-Pacifica are two values. So we talk about the wha'aloalo, which is respect, and non-Pacific leaders in respecting all of our, for our Pacifica families, and whether they're Muslim families or Afrikaans family, any is just taking the time to respect an element of their culture that will make that relationship a little bit more, easier, but respect can cross through all cultures. And if you can demonstrate that, they love that. We love it. We love that you've taken 30 seconds of your time to learn a greeting from our culture, 30 seconds of your time to understand that if you're from a Muslim culture and you've got prize giving, is that it's not appropriate to have male at the stage to shake hands. So those little tiny little gold nuggets will speak volumes to our different and our diverse communities. And I know we can't always get it right, but if they see that you're actually attempting to learn names properly, learn a greeting, understand one cultural motif, that's one. Yeah, that's one thing that I would encourage non-Pacific leaders to look into if they haven't done it already. Did you say two? And yes. The second one, for our non-Pacific leaders, is for my second one, don't be afraid to ask. That's it, really. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask. Yeah, always ask. And sometimes asking is far more valuable than something that you found in an article.
Or assuming.
Mm. Just ask.
Talofa Lava. You've been listening to a Tata Yahorau Core Education Podcast.